the processional hymn 193, In His Temple, Now Behold Him. Welcome, everybody, on this feast of the presentation of Christ in the temple. Our service is the order of Holy Communion, beginning with the opening greeting on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. God, who said, out of darkness light shall shine, has caused his light to shine in our hearts, the light which is the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty and ever-living God, clothed in majesty, whose beloved Son was this day presented in the temple in the substance of our mortal nature, may we be presented to you with pure and clean hearts by your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in their wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has power over death, of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like the brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn, after which the young people may withdraw for Sunday school, from Thanks and Praise, 220, Long the Years of Faithful Waiting. Hear the Gospel of our Savior Christ according to St. Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 22.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. It commemorates the events recorded by St. Luke in today's gospel reading. Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, brought him to the temple 40 days after his birth to conform to Jewish ritual obligations. The presentation of the firstborn to God, and the purification of a woman after giving birth. Perhaps it's a bit disorientating to read this gospel today, to commemorate the feast of the presentation, because it draws our attention backwards to Christmas. In a very real sense, it is the final observance of the Christmas season, which explains why in some, not many now though, traditional Christian churches, the Christmas decorations remain until this day. Our attention is drawn back to Christmas, to the birth of Christ, and to his family. And even as our lives have moved on and the world is not paying attention, the church allows us one last glimpse of the joy of the Christmas season. It is a story full of joy, the joy of parents who are faithfully fulfilling the practices of their faith, and especially the joy of two elderly people who see the identity of the baby and testify to his world historical significance. St. Luke is keen to show Jesus' parents obeying Jewish law, mentioning it no fewer than 5 times in this brief passage. He is also concerned to show them as observant Jews. He will do the same when he depicts Jesus. In addition, the temple is a focal point. Joseph and Mary bring Jesus here twice, now 40 days after his birth. They will bring him again when he is 12 years old, an incident related only by Luke in the very next verses. Jesus will remain behind at the temple after his parents leave, when they discover he is not with the group returning to Nazareth. They return to the temple and find him in conversation with religious leaders about Scripture. Jesus will return to the temple when he comes to Jerusalem just before his crucifixion, and the temple will continue to be a focal point for his disciples after his ascension. In fact, Luke's description of them at the end of the Gospel calls to mind his description of Anna. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, blessing God. In addition to the prominent role of the temple throughout Luke and Acts, this story emphasizes other themes central to Luke's telling. The presence of Simeon and Anna, two aged people who testify to the baby's identity, link this story to models in Hebrew scripture and also appeal to the prophetic tradition. Anna is explicitly identified as a prophetess, while Simeon offers prophecy as well as song when he encounters Jesus. Simeon's is not the first song Luke records in the Gospel. The nativity story is accompanied by hymns, that of Zechariah, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." He sang it when his voice returned after the birth of his son, John the Baptist. There's Mary's song, the Magnificat. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord." There is the song the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth." And there is this one, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace." These are the church's songs, sung for nearly 2,000 years and sung or chanted daily during the daily office. While emphasizing tradition, the law, and the prophets, and these two elderly witnesses, Luke also emphasizes the role of the Holy Spirit, mentioning her movement three times in describing Simeon. Simeon was righteous and devout and looking forward to the consolation of Israel. His song is one of benediction and leave-taking. But Simeon has more to say and turns to ominous prophecy. "This child is destined for the rising and the falling of many in Israel, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Unfortunately, Luke doesn't tell us what Anna said, and said only leaves us with the image of an elderly woman who spent all of her time in the temple speaking about Jesus to everyone in the temple who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. On the surface, this episode that brings to an end Luke's infancy narrative is little more than confirmation of what has gone before: the birth of the Son of God in keeping with Scripture and witnessed by people who were able to testify to its importance. But when you step back a moment to reflect, it opens up great depths of meaning. Think again about the temple's significance. It plays an important role in this episode, as it does throughout Luke and Acts. Yet by the time Luke was writing, the temple lay in ruins. In fact, it may have been destroyed two generations before he wrote. So Luke's readers could not have imagined the scene. They had no reference points for it. And think about those two elderly people who express their joy, of Simeon who sings, "My eyes have seen my salvation," and the sort of hopes expressed in this text, the consolation of Israel, the redemption of Jerusalem, had not been accomplished and may have seemed further away than ever before. Would Simeon and Anna been able to hold on to their hope if they knew what the future held? And even in this story of faith, hope, and joy, there is an ominous note. In his blessing, Simeon speaks of the falling and rising of many in Israel, of opposition and division, and most of all, of a sword that will pierce Mary's soul. Even here in the joy of incarnation, the shadow of the cross looms. Perhaps that's why the famous painting Mantegna seems to have Jesus wrapped not in swaddling clothes, but in what looks like burial wrappings. We hear this story today, 40 days after Christmas, when the joy of that season has long since left us, cooled by endless gray days, by the relentless cycle of news that wears us down and grinds our hope into despair. We hear this story when our attention is fleeting, perhaps diverted momentarily by such events as strikes in Gaza or strikes in Yemen. Can we appreciate the power of the story that Luke has crafted? A story of long waits, expectation and hope in the midst of disappointment. Can we see ourselves in the aged Simeon and Anna, whose faith did not falter through years of struggle and disappointment? This is the Feast of the Presentation. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple. While our translations say that Simeon took the baby, a better translation would be that he received him. Indeed, Simeon didn't just see Christ, as one Chris Bryan has written, and I quote, "He touches him, holds him, embraces him." And given that Jesus comes to Simeon in the weakness of babyhood, for this moment, Simeon actually carries him as the stronger carries the weaker. Simeon has waited faithfully upon God, and the reward of his faithfulness is that for just a moment he becomes the hearer of Christ. Mary and Joseph presented Christ in the temple. They presented him to Simeon and Anna. Yet Simeon's and Anna's confessions make clear to who Jesus is. Our salvation, our redemption, the Son of God. The collect for the day reminds us that Christ presents us to God. And in a real sense, that is what is happening here. Jesus was presenting his parents to God, to Simeon and Anna. We make Christ present in this communion, recalling his life, death, and resurrection. But the fact of the matter is that, in a deeper sense, Christ is presenting us. We approach his table, hand in hand with him, carried by him. And may we, like Simeon and Anna, proclaim our faith in Christ. May we see him here in our lives and in the world around us. And may we sing with Simeon, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people, Israel." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On page 205, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord, of your people, we give thanks for the knowledge of our salvation, seen with the eye not of sight, but of faith. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. We pray for this group of parishes. And following our diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for the parish of Dromore, the rector, Dean Jeff Wilson, and the curate, the Reverend Trevor McKeown. Enlighten the church to be a true temple to the glory of God and a witness to the world. In these challenging times, may your mercy, peace, and love be increased and multiplied. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, bring the divine light to shine on all nations, especially Yemen, Ukraine, Gaza, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Syria, Lebanon, Ethiopia, and Myanmar. We also remember all those other countries, known and unknown, where fighting is part and parcel of daily life. We ask for peace in those places, and that we may be peacemakers wherever we can. Draw those with authority and influence to put the needs of others more firmly before their own. Bless Charles, our King. Give him enduring wisdom and faith in the service of the people of this land and of you, his Lord and Master. We pray for the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, the Secretary of State, Chris Heaton-Harris, and the government. The First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, Deputy First Minister, Emma Little-Pengally, and the Executive. President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, Taoiseach and Micheál Martin, and the government in the Republic. We pray for all public representatives, especially those in positions of responsibility. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, in our families and friendships, Make us a light to lighten the lives of others. Come with the healing fire of your love to cleanse all that is not right in our land, that all may know their true Redeemer. Help those who work in our local community and those with whom we work to offer their gifts and talents for the good of all. Make us witnesses to your truth through the quiet offering of our lives. In particular, be with households where relationships are being tested and strained. We pray that in our families we may live that we know you are always among us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, bless and protect the vulnerable ones of our common humanity, the babies, the parents who have few of the world's goods and are suffering through financial hardship, the aged and infirm who are struggling with ill health. We pray especially for Martin Crawford, David Keith, Noel Dobson, and Bill Chambers. May all who need your healing touch today know your presence alongside them and your strength supporting them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, we remember those who have departed in peace and come into the glorious light of eternity. Bind us together by your Holy Spirit, in communion with all who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name is called the Prince of Peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. There will be an additional opportunity today to contribute to the offering for the leprosy mission to Northern Ireland in the loose collection. Give the Lord the glory due to his name. Enter his courts with an offering. The offertory hymn from Thanks and Praise, number 26, Come Lord and Meet Us in This Holy Hour.
Thank you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. We follow the First Communion prayer on page 209. At the appropriate time, the words of the Holy, Holy, Holy may be found in the inset at the back of the prayer book. Let us pray. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. You chose the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, and so exalted the humble and meek. Your angel hailed her as most highly favored, and with all generations we call her blessed. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death, we celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. God, for whom we wait, you fulfilled the hopes of Simeon and Anna, who lived to welcome the Messiah. Complete in us your perfect will, till in Christ we may see your salvation, for he is Lord forever and ever. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ, the Son of God, born of Mary, fill you with his grace to trust his promises and obey his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. On Wednesday evening, the bowling club meets in the hall at 8 o'clock. Sunday next, which is the Sunday before Lent, and which we also observe as Church Missionary Society Sunday, there will be family service at 10 o'clock. The special preacher from CMS will be the Reverend Roger Thompson. And afterwards, there will be light refreshments in the parochial hall in support of this year's CMS Lenten project. I do encourage you to come and support both the service and the refreshments after in the hall, which it was great last year we were able to resume these following the pandemic restrictions, and we look forward to doing so again this year. Ash Wednesday this year takes place on Wednesday, the 14th of February. There will be a penitential service in this church at 7:30. The register of the general register of vestry persons, that is the register of those eligible to stand and or vote in the Easter general vestry meeting, it's now open for revision during the month of February. If you haven't previously registered, are aged 18 years and over, and subscribe to church funds, you may do so by signing the appropriate form. Unfortunately, he cannot be with us in person for reasons of health, but I would nonetheless like to express our very best wishes to one of our senior parishioners, Mr. Bert Carlyle. Today, the 4th of February, is his 85th birthday, and we wish him our sincere congratulations on attaining this milestone, and every blessing to him and to his gracious wife Ruth in the years ahead. And on a personal note, today, the 4th of February, marks, would you believe, the 30th anniversary of my institution as rector of this group of parishes. I remember the day very well. It was a Friday night. The previous day, there'd been a general switch off of electricity throughout the province, but it came back. But in those days, as any of you who were living around here at that time would know very well, you couldn't be very certain about electricity supply, particularly on the wild, wet, and windy night that that Friday night was. And I do remember about 5 minutes to eight, there was a flicker and everyone's heart sank. And oh dear. But thankfully it came on again very quickly, so we were able to proceed. These 3 decades have been immensely fulfilling for me and seem to have gone very quickly. And I am deeply grateful for your friendship and support over the 30 years spent amongst you. And I now invite you to join in the following hymn, which is, if you like, a prayer, not just for me, but for all of God's ordained servants. The recessional hymn 457, Pour Out Thy Spirit from on High. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.